We're reading text 20 of chapter 7 of canto 12. The chapter is entitled Puranic Literatures. Padartishu yata dravyam sanmatram rupa namasu Vijari panchatantasu Yevastasu yuta yutam Padartishu. Word by word translation. Padartishu. Within material objects. Yata. Just as. Dravyam, the basic substance. Satmatram, the sheer existence of things. Rupanamasu, among their forms and names. Bijadi, beginning from the seed, namely from the time of conception. Panchatantasu, ending with death. He, indeed. Avastasu, throughout the various phases of bodily existence. Yuta ayutam, both conjoined and separate. Translation. Although a material body may assume various forms and names, its essential ingredient is always present as the basis of its existence. Similarly, both conjointly and separately, the Supreme Absolute Truth is always present with the created material body throughout its phases of existence, beginning with conception and ending with death. Purport. Moist clay cannot be molded into various shapes and names. Moist clay can be molded into various shapes and named water pot, flower pot, or storage pot. Despite the various names and forms, the essential ingredient, earth, is constantly present. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is present throughout a material body stages of bodily existence. The Lord is identical with material nature, being its ultimate generating source. At the same time, the unique Supreme Being exists separately, aloof in His own abode. Om Agena Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Stapita Mena Buddhale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Vadati Swam Panatikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Vanamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Vatitanam Bhavarebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is almost, there is few more chapters left to the end of the Bhagavatam, 6 chapters. This is after the departure of Parikshit Maharaj, and this chapter deals with how the branches of Atharva Veda have been distributed, and some conclusive truths related to the message given there. So this particular verse today is, we could say, Upanishadic verse. Similar verse is found in Shri's Upanishad, and it deals with one essential quality of the Absolute Truth, the quality of simultaneous oneness and difference, achinta bera bera tattva. Sometimes in academic circles there is a word that is used to identify that particular quality of simultaneous oneness and difference. That word is called, is actually diunital. The term, it's a term, diunital. Diunital means that two opposites coincide simultaneously. Usually two opposites do not coincide. Particularly in the material world, we cannot see fire and water coinciding at the same time. They are aggressively contrary to each other. So if you put water and fire, it will put it off. If the fire is more than the water, then the water will be evaporated. So they cannot coexist. But when we speak about transcendence, opposites can coexist simultaneously. For example, Krishna can be here with us at the moment, and he is everywhere at the same time. The material plane, I can be here in this room, Prabhupada said, but I cannot be in the other room. But on the spiritual plane, the Absolute Truth, Krishna has these amazing qualities of omnipresence. So that omnipresence is not contrary to Krishna being a person. Interesting, huh? Usually if we say the air is everywhere, the air has no form and doesn't have personality. So when we speak about omnipresence, we generally talk about something like that, shapeless, formless, endless, impersonal principle. So this is very important to understand, because by understanding this principle we can develop love for Krishna, because we can understand how the source of everything is so sublime that he transcends the physical laws of material nature. The Absolute Truth transcends the laws of physical nature, which means that he is the source of those laws and is unaffected by those laws. So by understanding how the source of everything is unaffected by the laws of nature, then we could be in awe and reverence. Because if we find someone who is beyond the laws of nature, we will immediately be in awe and reverence, right? If you see someone levitating now, you will immediately, oh, this person is amazing. He can levitate 1 meter above the ground. I can't do that. I've never seen anyone else. So this is just one example of how extraordinary abilities immediately involve awe and reverence in the heart of others. So Krishna's extraordinary abilities, the more we study them, the more we understand that they're extraordinary immediately. So if someone can levitate 1 meter off the ground, this is quite extraordinary, right? Without a rope, someone pulling him from the, you know, like this magician, David Copperfield or something. So if someone can do that, some yogis, they're able, that is extraordinary, that is contrary to the physical law. But Krishna is far beyond all that. Ultimately, the most extraordinary principle of Krishna is that Krishna is extremely merciful towards everyone, even to those who are trying to kill him, like Hiranyakashipu. So this is really, really extraordinary, because in the material world, even if someone levitates and has extra sensory powers and is little more advanced in terms of understanding the laws of this world and so on and so forth, and can manipulate them in different ways, he is still captured within the Maya Shakti, because that person has friends and enemies. He has friends of enemies and enemies. This particular example, I'm using a yogi or something like that. So even an extraordinary person like that will be bound by the three modes of material nature. Therefore, our reverence for such person will be very small. But when we understand that Krishna is so merciful, the Absolute Truth is so merciful, that he gives the position of a maidservant to the person who tried to kill him, Putana, then our awe and reverence increases even more and more, perhaps unlimitedly, when we have the realization of what actually is the Absolute Truth, who is the Absolute Truth. And the more our awe and reverence increases, the more our appetite to understand the nature of the Absolute Truth increases, and the more we inquire into the Absolute Truth, the more another aspect enters, the madhurya aspect, the sweetness aspect, which allows us to now move from the platform of awe and reverence and into the realm of sweet loving exchanges with that Absolute Truth. So, but everything, all that begins on a fundamental level of understanding that the source of everything actually is omnipresent, and although he is present in his own abode, namely Goloka Vrindavan, at the same time he enters within each and every atom, within each and every heart, and he is a witness and permitter as Paramatma at the same time. So this is the foundation. When we understand this, then we are on the right path of self-realization. Generally, the materialistic people, they think that matter is both the mother and the father of life, of existence. And they ultimately conclude that since life is temporary, the ultimate perfection is death, according to the scientists. The ultimate perfection is death, because life, according to them, is an event that occurs in time due to some chemical combination, and then life occurs. It did not exist before, it occurs now, and then after some time there is annihilation, devastation, and life ends forever. At least for the individual who has experienced life, then that individual ceases to exist forever and emerges with the totality of material energy. So this is a pretty nihilistic type of understanding of life, and if one believes that this is actually what's going on, then like Albert Camus, he was an existentialist philosopher, he said whether you live or die is the same. He committed suicide. Albert Camus was one of the very famous French philosophers in 18th century, I think. So for him, whether you live or die, it doesn't matter. In fact, perhaps maybe death is better, because in life there is so much suffering. So rather just die. So there is no pain. So you just may suffer a little bit before you kill yourself, but when you're dead, that's what it thinks. So this nihilism is basically, Prabhupada would call it, this namor of ignorance, completely namor of ignorance. So it is worse even than animal behavior, because the animals will never, as far as I know, I don't think there is animals that commit suicide, right? I've never heard of animals that commit suicide. But there are human beings that, do that. What are they? Ladies, okay. Ladies. But they want to do that. They kind of know it, or they just foolishly do it. It's different to make a choice to commit suicide, or different to just like a fly to enter into fire without moving us. You know, that's two different things. I don't know. They're not conscious, yeah? See? So the human being is the only entity that is consciously taking its life. You see, that is worse than a mode of ignorance. I don't know if anything can be worse than that. So, thank you for the example, Mother. Yeah, there is many examples how animals can even hear the kangaroos. They go in front of the car at night, in front of the lights, and then they get shot, kicked on the road. So, but they don't know actually what's going on. So, you know, those who are a little more higher on the in the modes of nature, they feel that, look, you know, I live once, so let me do the best I can to enjoy my senses. I'm going to work hard, I'll amass great amount of money, and then I can enjoy, I can travel around, buy myself a villa, a nice car, and then enjoy the pleasures of this world. Enjoy while you can. You live once, you know. Don't waste your opportunity. Recently I read excerpt from a book from a professor from Dublin University, and he was saying, look, there is no hell and there is no God. There is only missed opportunities. That was the conclusion of his book. Interesting, huh? So if you think that there is God and there is hell and all that, you'll simply be afraid to do things that you want to do, and then miss opportunities. So this is going on in the name of science today. Is that science? It's like namor of ignorance, you know. And this is a professor. So basically, we can really appreciate the mercy of the Absolute Truth, because the Absolute Truth appears as the spiritual master. He is the external representative. Madan Mohan, Madan Mohan, as Paramatma, Tadvidi, Pranipatina, Pranipasena Sevaya, Upadekshanti Tegiram, Dhinina Stapa Darshanaha. So the Absolute Truth is so merciful that he appears in disguise to enlighten the crazy conditioned soul in this material world. In this material world, everyone is crazy, because everyone has detached himself, herself from the original relationship to the Absolute Truth in pursuit of independent happiness. That is craziness. So you can never be independent. That's why we are crazy. Because even if we ignore that relationship with the Absolute Truth, we are still dependent on the Absolute Truth. Because we cannot create the air, we cannot create the sun, we cannot create the earth, the soil, the chemical elements. We're completely dependent on that Absolute Truth. Therefore, to think that I am separate from God, I am independent from joy, that is craziness. So everyone that has come to this world is crazy. So we are all crazy. But because we have come to devotional service, now we are actually getting released from that craziness because of the spiritual master. Tad vidi pranipatana, pranipasnana sanaya, upadekshanti pragina, dhinastafadashana. Without the interference of the Absolute Truth in the form of the Spiritual Master, we are hopeless, because we cannot really, with the blunt senses, understand who and I, what am I doing here, and what am I doing. We just cannot understand it. If nothing really makes sense. Charles Darwin, when he philosophized about life, he said, "I cannot believe that there is God, because there is so much cruelty in this world." He said, "Why is the mouse eating the cat? If God created the world, why he created it such a cruel place?" So for him, this world was imperfect, and therefore the creator of this world is imperfect. So therefore he became atheist. So sense perception is one of the epistemological tools. It means tools for inquiring into reality. Another tool is anuman, logic. And both these tools are imperfect because the living entity in this world is imperfect, simply because of the contact with the illusory energy of the world. We are defective. So there is no way any one of us can understand what is really going on unless you meet the mercy factor of the Absolute Truth in the form of the Spiritual Master, whether it's Pata Pradakshika Guru in the form of a devotee, whether it's Diksha or Shiksha Guru. You have to understand that we have no hope understanding what we are, who we are, what we're doing here, unless we get the Absolute Truth's mercy. So, of all the opulences of the Absolute Truth, of Krishna, of the Supreme Conscious Being, the greatest opulence is the opulence of mercy. Because although he enjoys in Vrindavan with the gopis, with the cowherd boys, with Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, with the cows, and with the other living entities, with Govardhan, he is enjoying constantly. But at the same time, he's so merciful that he does not leave us even for a moment alone, completely alone. Does not leave us even for a moment. He's always with us. He's always waiting for us to wake up, to turn towards him. And as soon as we have a little question, who am I? What am I doing here? He immediately sends a devotee, a good distributor, to meet you or something like that. Or Harinam party will pass through town with Ganpati Prabhu leading Kirtan. And then the person will get a flyer for the temple. And in that way, that's the first time in their life that one person can really, really get a full opportunity to transcend the slaughterhouse of the material energy. Yeah, it is a slaughterhouse. When you observe people, you can see that everyone is so busy doing something. Someone is a doctor, someone is a lawyer, someone is a captain on a plane, someone is a teacher at school, someone is a movie director, actress, actor. So if you ask them, what are you doing? They'll say, well, I'm working, I'm acting, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Actually, if you really look at what are they doing from the perspective of what the Spiritual Master has given us, they are simply rushing towards death. That's all. They are simply rushing towards death. The presidents of the countries, Obama, he's simply rushing towards death. That's all. So, basically, unless one gets the mercy of the Absolute Truth, which is available to everyone, just like the sun is available to everyone. The sun doesn't discriminate. I'll only give sunshine to the Australians, not to the New Zealanders. The sun doesn't do that. The sun gives everyone's opportunity. So the same, Krishna's mercy is there, everywhere. But certain individuals have the receptivity to receive that mercy, and certain individuals do not have it as yet. Therefore, the devotees who receive the mercy of the Absolute Truth, they have to become concerned with those who are still blind in relation to the Absolute Truth, so that they could become instrumental for helping others to also come to self-realization. So in other words, when we realize the mercy that we've been given, we have to have the gratitude and the love for the Absolute Truth, for Krishna. When we have that love for Krishna and gratitude, then we immediately want to please Krishna, and Krishna is pleased in the greatest way by actually giving him to others. That pleases Krishna the most. That completely conquers Krishna's heart. If you give Krishna to one person, Krishna says, this person is mine, about you, because you gave him to another person. So this is actually the dynamic. We understand the omnipresence of the Absolute Truth by reading Shastra, by getting the mercy of bona fide spiritual master, and then we understand the highest principle and the highest opulence of the Absolute Truth, Krishna, which is His mercy. And then when we understand Krishna's mercy, then we become grateful, and then we want to extend that mercy also with others. That becomes a life of its own, and that becomes a completely different existence. Although we are embodied, although we are in this world, we are no longer to be considered crazy, because now you are dedicating your life to the highest welfare of humanity. That is not craziness, that is actually sanity, full sanity. So you have adopted your original constitutional position as Krishna Das. You are Krishna Das now because you are acting in that way, or Krishna Dasi. And then after death, the demise of this body, you still remain Krishna Das, because you acted throughout your whole life as such. In other words, there is no death for you if you remain a devotee this whole life. There is no death for you, because the Krishna Das consciousness remains with you in the next life. So that is totally different from the crazy behavior of materialistic people. Mr. John in the next life may be take birth as a dog, or he may become Mrs. Jones or Mrs. Ching in China or something like that. But the devotee will always remain Krishna Das. Devotees will always remain Krishna Das. So this is the mercy of Krishna, and we have to develop that deep understanding of awareness of that relationship with the Absolute Truth. So here in the purport it says that just like earth is within the water pot, flower pot, storage pot, the ingredient earth is constantly present. So similarly, the Supreme Lord is present throughout the material body stages of bodily existence. The six stages of birth, growth, procreation, maintenance, then dwindling, and then dying. These are the six stages. So the Lord is present throughout all these stages, and He is identical with material nature because that's one of His energies, just like the sun and the sunshine are identical but at the same time different. And He exists separately, aloof in His own abode, it says here as well. He is present everywhere. So this is very Upanishadic understanding, and it's very philosophical, it's very deep. hardly anyone in this world understands that the Absolute Truth can be such. Usually the materialists may think that the Absolute Truth is omnipresent, but it has no personality. And some people may think that even God is omnipresent without personality. That's the second group of people. And then there is third group that understands that God is both omnipresent and He has personality. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes. Yes. False ego. How to avoid false ego. He's asking how to avoid false ego and always to remain in the consciousness of being the instrument of Krishna. Being the instrument of Krishna. How to always remain in the consciousness of being Krishna's instrument and how to avoid false ego. False ego is the finest energy of Krishna, ahankara. Ahankara means I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. So we are conditioned to think in these terms in the material world, so we have to practice. We have to practice selflessness and we have to become thoughtful. In other words, when we execute certain service, we should understand that actually I simply have the desire to execute the service. And then Krishna's energies are carrying me through to execute it. And then the result of that service is not for my pleasure, it's for Krishna's pleasure. So if you're humble, you'll be able to maintain sobriety. If you become proud, immediately you become blinded. You think, I did so many things, and now I have to enjoy so many things. This is a demigod consciousness. You may be a devotee, you may recognize there is God, but then you think I am doing, and then any doer must be enjoyer after that, right? So this is ahankara. So how to remain free of ahankara? Be humble. You see, Lord Chaitanya gave this principle of humility to be the foundational principle for advancement. Sachinandana Swami says in one of his books that unless you go through the door of humility, you cannot enter into the palace of bhakti. Humility means superb intelligence to perceive how the absolute truth is the real doer through his various multifarious energies. We are simply desiring, that's all. And then when the outcome of that activity is present, because we are humble and intelligent, buddhi, we've got buddhi, we know that I am not meant to enjoy that result. Like for example, if a person comes from book distribution, from your preaching, you happen to preach to a lady on the street and she comes, and then ahankara will mean, oh, this lady is so beautiful, I'm going to marry her now. Something like this, you know. She's for my enjoyment. So that is craziness, you know. Just like the material world, people go to work and then they meet a colleague or something and then they fall in love with them and have an affair and all this nonsense. So basically if someone has come from our preaching to ISKCON, we just offer them to a bona fide spiritual master, and then the bona fide spiritual master can actually treat them in a way to regain their health. So we are just an intermediary servant. And basically we offer them security in the form of association of devotees. If it's a Prabhu, you give him the association of the other Vaishnavas and you can give him service and assistance. And if it's a lady, you give her into the association of other ladies so they can take care of her. And in that way, she can be protected. So it's not that we have to preach to her every time and all these kind of things, you know. That becomes, you know, attachment and then it leads to unhealthy things. So, another aspect is prestige. name, fame, position, recognition, if we seek that kind of things. I did this. I have to tell everyone I did it, you know, so that people will worship me at the end. So, you know, in the morning when they read us course, that's fine, but we shouldn't give us course so that we can get glorification. We should give us course simply to please Prabhupada, that's all. So, we should have pure consciousness. Pure consciousness means realize that that glorification, whatever I want to get in terms of name, fame, glorification, prestige, position, influence, all that, this is all going to bring me misery. So if you're intelligent, you'll not want it. But if you're a fool, you'll be just after all these things. Crazy fellow. Hare Krishna. Any questions? I'm sorry? The love of God, yeah? Yes. Yes. It's a formal love, yeah. Yeah, no, no. Yeah. Yeah, I explained that there is another aspect, Madhurya. So you moved from that stage to Madhurya, but that comes with time of purification. Sweetness comes when you become released from material designations completely. Sarva upadhi vinir mukta, tatat paritkana nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti vuchita. When your aim is to please the master of the senses, Rishikesh, completely, in that process you lose all your material identity. Sarva upadhi vinir mukta. And then tatat paritkana nirmalam, your real identity comes forward. And then that moment, actually sweetness can emerge. So basically before that it is duty, performed out of duty, like Vaidhi Bhakti. I don't want to bow down, but I have to force myself, you know. There's no sweetness there. But sweetness comes when you actually understand the glory of Krishna, and when you actually associate with pure devotees. So you can come to that level only if you associate with advanced devotees. That's the only way you can do it. Because we have become the product of our association. If you associate with materialists, you become a materialist. If you associate with devotees who are practicing in a weak way, not so serious, then you will become like them. And if you associate with serious practitioners, then you will become very serious and then you will progress very quickly. So you have to watch out who is your intimate association. We respect everyone. We give respect even to the karmis, because Lord Chaitanya asked us. He said, Trinada Pisunichanata Rori Vasi Gitanya Sadahari. Give respect to everyone, not just to the Vaishnavas. So we respect even the karmis. We say, sir, how are you today? Nice to see you. We don't say, hey, rascal, what are you up to? You know? You're just like stool, you know. We don't say that. You know? We respect every person. But we don't take intimate association from them. Right? So, you respect everyone. But still, you seek more advanced association. And you serve those devotees. And that's how you develop. You don't discredit any person. Because sometimes people say, look, all these guys are neophyte. I'm going to seek advanced association. These are all rascals and whatever. So you become offensive to the Vaishnavas who are genuinely trying to serve. You know. So you have to understand that both things are there. This is again diurnal principle. You have to appreciate everyone, but at the same time seek someone who is he or she, you know, who is more advanced. Sometimes a lady can also be more advanced than the men. It can be, and you can get the mercy. So, but you have to have the eyes to see, and you have to be advanced to be able to understand that. So, the mercy can flow from any devotee. So, yes, the goal is to reach sweetness, and sweetness there is no, there is no awe and reverence, but service is there. Service is there. The cowherd boys are completely focused on serving Krishna. When they want to take prasadam, they say, Krishna, there is some nice fruits, we want them. Actually, they want it for Krishna, but they are tricking Krishna. They are kind of tricking him that they want it so that Krishna can get it for himself. You see? Still the mode of service is there. So your perspective of service is on the platform of duty. But service is omnipresent on all levels. Karmis are serving each other, and the Mahabhagavats are serving each other in Krishna's service. Service is everywhere. But the purity, the consciousness, the understanding is different. The perspective is different. So you have to associate with devotees who are progressive, and that way you also progress. If you associate with people who are not serious, then you also remain stagnant for decades, maybe lifetimes, hopefully not. So we have to be careful. Yes, I think. You want to comment on that one? Please? Friendship emerges. This is a very yes. Yes. Same experience. I'm not a businessman, but I took a taxi in Dubai, and we became friends with the driver within a few minutes. And he told me the whole of his life. He was from Pakistan, and he was telling me about his family and how he works hard like a dog, 12 hours a day, driving just to make money to send to the family. And he said, you know, I've become like a monk. You know, he told me like this. He said, I don't drink, I don't engage in promiscuous activities, you know. He was telling me all these things, the Pakistani driver. And then, you know, at the end I told him, thank you very much, salam alaikum, and he said, Hare Krishna. So we became friends while he was driving me. Thank you then for the example, brother. Yes, Prabhuji.
My own commitment.
Okay.
Humility.
Yes.
Srila Prabhupada always said, because of his Peter Master, he always said that all my success is because of his Peter Master.
Yes.
For example,
yes, definitely.
Excellent.
Yeah, definitely. Jaya. To enter into the palace of bhakti, we have to go through the door of humility.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you lick the honey from the outside of the bottle if you're proud. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes? Yes, this is the only asset. Your knowledge, your character, your consciousness goes to the next life. Everything else is left behind. Yeah. So the quality of love you develop for Krishna and for his devotees is carried on with you in the next life. So love for Krishna is the real asset. Everything else is just liability, you know. Love of Krishna is asset, so you should run after love of Krishna. So when you develop love for Krishna, then that will stay with you. Hopefully you will become so perfected in that love that you don't have to come back again. So you should aspire for that. Don't think, no, I'll just develop a little bit of love and next life it will stay with me and I'll continue and then again. No, just make it one time. Because there's so much suffering in this material world, you know. So much unnecessary suffering. You're not meant for suffering, you're meant for pleasure, for enjoyment. But in this material world, in a guise of pleasure, you get the trident of Maya Devi in your back. Hare Krishna. We don't want that. Okay, thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthura Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.